On Friday, October 9th, in the wee hours, NASA's Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Satellite, it's called LaCrosse, the impactor will hit the moon, followed 4 minutes later by the impact of the LaCrosse robotic mothership, which will fly through 10-kilometer-high debris plume, collecting data about the presence of water, minerals, and organic molecules. NASA says they will have the Hubble, the LRO, and hundreds of Big Earth-based telescopes pointed at the event. But the plume should be big enough to be seen and recorded by amateur telescopes 10 inches or larger. NASA is asking anyone who is willing to participate by observing and photographing the event. Up next, science advisor and head of the EnterpriseMission.com, Richard C. Hoagland, on this event. Head of the EnterpriseMission.com, Richard C. Hoagland, our science advisor. He's been monitoring situations with NASA and this Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Satellite, and here he is on Coast to Coast with not only that, but some other breaking news as well. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, George.
You're up and at 'em.
And we're going to keep a light out for you.
Thank you.
You're headed this way.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Hey, this situation is going to happen Friday. Is it Thursday morning into Friday Friday morning into Saturday?
No, it's Thursday morning into Friday. It's Friday a.m. It will be, 5:31 Mountain Time, 4:31 Pacific Time. It will be 7:30 Eastern Time, Eastern Daylight Time, on Friday morning. So it's Thursday night into Friday morning. So the Thursday night show you do, when you get off the air, it'll be a couple of hours until this event. Now, I have to agree with David on one major thing. Something is coming. Something big. After that, David and I think, kind of part company. And it's not because I don't respect him, and I don't think he's a hell of a researcher, and I haven't worked with him, and will work with him again, and I put him forward for this sci-fi NBC special we did on 2012 as a consulting producer, et cetera, et cetera. My problem with David is that most of what he told you is coming from sources, from human beings in the black ops intel world, who, for some reason, he thinks are telling him the truth.
They could be misleading him.
Are you kidding? They've only been misleading us for the last how many hundred years? Why would they change now?
Unless he trusts his sources.
Well, but how do you trust your sources? You know,
you trust yours.
Say again?
You trust yours.
Why do you say that?
Well, because you report on them.
But I have separate calibrating mechanisms as opposed to listening to a bunch of people in the in crowd. I have a process called science and data and evidence and analysis and, you know, the Popperian method and all that other stuff. So when we get information from sources, which we do, the first thing I do is to try to calibrate it against the stuff that stands still, the actual data, the actual imagery, the actual analysis and projections we put together from a variety of other, really independent sources, because I do not trust the intel community at all. They've been lying to us through their teeth for decades, if not centuries. Even before there were such things as formal intelligence agencies, there were intel agencies that just didn't call them that. So my real bone to pick with David is not his earnestness, his sincerity. It's his willingness to really suspend disbelief and believe almost without question what these guys are saying. Now, I'm kind of doing this deliberately because I want a reaction from him. But the bottom line is we agree on one thing.
Well, you want us to get him on? You two will go at it for an hour.
Well, that would take up the whole hour, and we don't have a lot of time, so we can do that some other time. We can do that maybe when you come here.
Are you jumping out of the ring, Richard?
Say again?
Are you jumping out of the ring here?
No, not at all. No. I don't want to pick a fight with David. I want people who are listening to understand there's a difference in methodologies and sourcing and process. And the process that we in Enterprise have been doing is really we don't listen much to sources. The only time that I call you up and I come on the air and I talk about sources is when they confirm things we have figured out the good old-fashioned roll-up-your-sleeves, elbow-grease scientific way. And then we get confirmation from sources that don't know what the hell I'm looking at. and they come up with specific information or evidence, bona fide, objective scientific evidence, like leaked imagery from NASA, of which there is a rising tide of amazing images coming out of missions both at the moon and even in the outer solar system. So I agree in principle with David that something is coming. In fact, it may even be at the presidential level. Now, why do I say that? Because we're coming up to a really extraordinary evening or morning, you know, the morning of Friday, the October 9th. And tonight, 2 days ahead of time, the President of the United States on the South Lawn of the White House is hosting, for the first time in recorded American history, a star party. He is going to have 100-plus amateur astronomers, middle school kids, high school kids, a couple that have actually done some pretty amazing scientific work. And he's hosting what I used to attend when I was a kid growing up and looking through my first telescopes, a star party.
That's a great idea, Bob.
And he's going to be going on national television talking about why it's important to excite kids with science and vision and the future and astronomy and what's out there in space and what NASA's doing. And this is all within hours of this major experiment. And if you don't think, George, you who says categorically over and over again, I don't believe in coincidence.
Oh, I don't.
If you don't think I don't agree that this ain't a coincidence, because I think this is setting us up for something. I agree with David. Something big with a capital B is going to happen within the foreseeable future. I'm not talking years or even months. I'm talking maybe tens of weeks, maybe even not that. But whether it's going to be Barack Obama appearing with a bunch of human-looking aliens, you know, the family of ETs.
I'm not sure that's going to happen. That's my guess.
See, again, that's what he's being fed by these intel sources, which could be a clever way by this black ops crowd to basically play down and to disperse the impact of what he's actually going to do, which in the real world, in the CNN, MSNBC, Fox world, is going to be just as earth-shaking as what he was discussing, you know, in the last 3 hours, but not at that level. And therefore, for this audience, it will appear as a big, oh, nothing happened. What I'm hopefully going to do tonight in the next, you know, less than an hour now, is to lay out why what we're going to see on Friday morning could in fact be the beginning of a whole new chapter in terrestrial history leading to some of the things that David is so positive and so eagerly anticipating.
Well, you know, I agree with you and David. Something is happening, and we've been talking about it.
Nothing like some fence sitting.
Well, you know, we've been talking about it for a year. People feel something is going to happen. We just don't know exactly what it is.
Well, our job at Enterprise, you know, remember, we are generalists, and we're not just stuck on Mars. I really am getting tired of being labeled the Mars guy, because what we did a long time ago is decide to look at everything. And the dots are connected, but you cannot tell on the surface. You got to dig deeper. You have to cross-correlate. You have to sift sources. You have to sift evidence. You have to balance your sources against objective data that stands still. And after we've done all that, and this goes back decades now, I agree with David that something is coming. I just don't agree that it's going to be a bunch of human-looking aliens sitting next to him in the Oval Office looking like a skit on Saturday Night Live.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with you, Richard, on that one. And, you know, also at the same time, how can he do a star party, right?
Yeah.
And slash NASA's budget.
But he's not.
You don't
think so? Every decision vis-a-vis NASA is being held in abeyance for the recommendations of the so-called Augustine Commission, which is this blue ribbon presidential panel that was set up, you know, 90-plus days ago by this president, this administration, to review the human spaceflight, the man part of what NASA does, going back to before Apollo, and making recommendations, actually giving a list of options, if I'm being technically accurate, to the president for a presidential policy set of decisions in the coming days. Now, what's interesting is that their original timetable for giving the president these options so he could make a decision vis-a-vis NASA and human spaceflight, and do we go to the moon? Do we go to Mars? Do we need more money? Do we need better technology? all those things that we've discussed on this show for decades. That original report was supposed to be given to the president in the end of September. It's now been slipped to the middle of October, which comes after the big lacrosse impact on Friday morning.
And if they announce, of course, we already know there's water on the moon. You and I talked about that a few days ago. But if they announce that there is organic molecules on the surface of the moon, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, let me cut to the chase, and then we can back up and we can go into how I think I know some of this stuff. I think that these missions have announced the presence of water and teased like crazy the presence of other molecules in a literal thin, ultra-thin atmosphere on the moon. Oh, I'm sounding like John Lear. Please do not confuse what I'm saying with John Lear. There is not an Earth-like atmosphere on the moon. Whatever is there is just a ghostly echo of an atmosphere. But here's the big thing that I think is important to think about. It wasn't there when Apollo astronauts landed on the moon and left those instruments. How do I know that? Because I've read the papers. So if the current NASA mission, piggybacking on the Indian Chandrayaan probe, found water all over the moon, verified by two other missions, the Deep Impact mission that flew by the Earth and did some scans of the moon for calibration, and the 10-year-old Cassini spacecraft on its way to Saturn, if all these three separate missions now say there's water all over the moon, and then you plug in the Indian report, which has not been well covered at all, that the Indian Space Agency dropped a little probe called the Moon Impact Probe from the Chandrayaan spacecraft they put into lunar orbit. Took 20 minutes to fall from orbit down to the south pole of the moon and impact and, of course, destroy itself. In that 20 minutes, however, it carried out measurements, like, as I said on an earlier program, like sniffing the air. It had something on board called a mass spectrometer, which actually physically samples and analyzes molecules as opposed to looking at light waves and remote sensing. And it's much more reliable because you're actually tasting or sniffing or sampling the elements that you're looking for. That probe, according to the Indians, 10 months ago, found water in an atmosphere, a super, super, super thin atmosphere around the moon.
What does that tell us?
Say again?
What does that tell us?
It tells us there's something there now producing an atmosphere on the moon. Now, you go back and you read any Arthur Clarke, dear Arthur, who I miss very much, any Robert Heinlein, any Isaac Asimov, any of the greats of science fiction who wrote both science fact as well as fiction in the heyday, the golden age of science fiction in the 50s and 60s. And you know that any human activities on the moon, basing colonies, cities, tourism, science base, something like Antarctica, like, you know, McMurdo Sound, any human activity over time will release molecules to form a temporary thin atmosphere on the moon. So the big story here, I think, George, is that what NASA is going to confirm and the Indians are going to publish in the next few days, if not weeks, is the fact that there's somebody on the moon and they've been there for a relatively brief period of time, like maybe 40-some years, meaning it's not aliens, it's not ETs, it's a human base established by the secret space program, and NASA is going to drop something on their heads on Friday morning.
Well, that may be. That may be indeed. You think this mission is not necessary?
Oh, I think it's terribly necessary to cause the upheaval it's causing and cause the political revolution it's going to cause and to cause disclosure at some level to come out of the closet and actually be real. So that's why I'm agreeing with David Wilcock that something big is coming. I just think it's not going to be the change of the world, the end of the world as we've known it. Because, look, can you imagine the impact psychologically and emotionally on people if the President of the United States is sitting there with six aliens who look like, come on. I mean, that's not in anybody's
It's going to look like the National Enquirer.
Well, it would look like one of those. Yeah, exactly. The member that
nobody will believe
these
him.
These alien thingies with presidents, these Photoshop things.
No one will believe him. They would say he's trying to take our minds off the economy, off health reform.
It's got to be within the realm of where people's minds can stretch, and they can remember. We're moving the goalposts now at warp 9. We've started out with water as a film covering the moon a few days ago. Now we're going to have, with La Crosse, evidence of a lot of water. I'm going to make a prediction tonight. A humongous amount of water gushing up out of this little hole that this impact, which is going to be the equivalent of one car bomb in Baghdad, is going to produce in this dark crater at the south pole of the moon. Now, if there's more ulterior things going on, the visual effect, the visual view for every one of you listening to us right now and in Radio Land, who will have freedom to go outside after the show ends, point your telescopes toward the moon, and look up and see if you see this with either your naked eyes, a pair of binoculars, or a decent telescope, I think we're all going to be very intriguingly surprised. I think the flash, the explosion, the event, the plume, whatever you want to call it, is going to be far bigger than any of the official estimates, and that will be a way of confirming several things for the in crowd, because again, I strongly suspect, based on the scientific evidence, that somebody is on the moon right now, tonight, with air leaking out of airlocks, carrying all kinds of interesting molecules. I mean, the Indians, let me read to you what the chief scientist for the Indian Space Agency said just a couple of days ago, if I can find the right file here.
Sure thing. And by the way, Lex will have a link up Wednesday night on
the event
Thursday morning.
Okay, listen to what this guy says. This is the chief scientist for the Indian Space Program's Chandrayaan and MIP mission. He said the MIP carried a mass spectrometer for possible detection of any molecule it might encounter in the lunar environment within 60 miles of the orbit of Chandrayaan 1, after it was released, northward of the equator and before it hit the lunar surface near the South Pole. The data returned by the mass spectrometer indicated the presence of many molecules of different masses.
That's amazing.
Ding, 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 ding. That right there cannot have happened unless the scenario I'm laying out is real, including, he says, a signal at mass 18, which happens to be the atomic mass of water. Unfortunately, it was a one-shot experiment that could not be repeated for the obvious reasons, unlike the M-Cube observations from Chandrayaan 1, meaning that their spacecraft hits the moon, destroys the instruments, you can't repeat the experiment, right?
Right, right.
If we attribute, he goes on to say, the signal at mass 18 to the water molecule, we must be able to identify all the other masses detected along with their plausible source. To sum up, he says, we have some extremely interesting data from the mass spectrometer, but we have to cross a few more steps before we can tell what it means with scientific certainty. I mean, I wouldn't have expected the Indians to be so incredibly damn conservative. I mean, they let NASA scoop them because really this is an Indian breakthrough. This is an Indian revelation that there is somebody tonight living on the moon and leaking stuff out of leaky air seals, leaky airlocks, to where it's given the moon a thin, thin, thin atmosphere that Apollo instrumentation did not, I repeat, did not detect 40 years ago. So whatever's gone on has happened up there in the last 40 years, and that is all consistent with a secret space program, secret lunar base, which either they're going to destroy in some spectacular extravaganza or reveal to us in a very novel and convoluted way.
Wow, what a theory. That's Richard C. Hoagland. We'll be back with more with Richard on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, a triple extravaganza, a special report on Bigfoot. Jeffrey Gonzalez, Stan Courtney, Jeff Hilling, they all joined us. Three separate program hours on Bigfoot. When we come back, more of Richard C. Hoagland on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Richard, you and Robin live in Albuquerque, right?
When I last looked.
You do. Got your calendar in front of you?
Yes.
Friday, November 13th. Where are you?
Two places. Well, actually, we were supposed to be two places. We were supposed to be on Sci-Fi on tape and here simultaneously live, but the NBC Sci-Fi special has been moved back, forward, I guess you'd say, as David told you earlier, to November 8th. So we'll be here watching the premiere, maybe, of Roland Emmerich's major big blockbuster movie, 2012.
Friday the 13th, interesting night, ominous. Anyway, physically, where are you going to be? In Albuquerque?
We'll be here in Albuquerque, I believe.
Okay, I tell you what, I have a major event with my affiliate there, KKOB. Information, by the way, up there on my calendar section at coasttocoastam.com. I would like you and Robin to come into the studio with me Friday night because I'm broadcasting live that night in their studios. That would be fun. Why don't you plan on doing that?
That sounds like a great idea.
Okay, let's
do
that.
We shall be there.
And also,
we can have dinner beforehand and actually maybe plan what we talk about.
Yeah, we can do that. We probably got a client thing, but you can come by.
Okay.
Do I have to buy dinner?
No, I'm not like David.
Okay. You are taking your shots at him tonight.
I can't resist. He's such a cool guy, and I love working with him. And, you know, it's nice you can have a friend that you can do this with on national radio, and you know he'll take it in the right spirit.
Let's take a quick call or two, and then I want to ask you about this sci-fi special.
Yeah, I got to ask you something.
All right. East of the Rockies, David, Cleveland, Ohio. Go ahead, David. You're on with Richard C.
Hey, Richard. I just had to tell you, it's funny that you mentioned you thought there were people on the moon. When I was in high school about 20 years ago, I had a teacher, and I'll never forget this. She said that there was a space station on the moon.
What a teacher that was. Who was that?
How did she know, and what was her source?
She didn't say. It was kind of a discussion. I'll never forget it, but just kind of happened after class one day. And she just kind of said it matter-of-factly, like, oh, yeah, there's a space station on the moon, and there are people on the moon. And it was kind of crazy that she would say that, you know, because you're either going to believe her or think she's crazy.
Well, that was 20 years after the Apollo landings. You know, there's a lot of people, maybe even you, that were not even born when we walked on the moon.
That's possible.
So
it
feels like science fiction. It's kind of like looking back and saying, wait a minute, our guys built the pyramids? Oh, come on. Nobody could do that who's a human being. George, I wanted to ask you my question because it comes right off this guy's question.
Yeah, sure.
Do you really get what I'm saying tonight? The scientific evidence says there's somebody on the moon. Incontrovertible, undeniable scientific evidence of an atmosphere that can't be there. Look, the moon, as you may or may not know, rotates once every month. Its day side has 2 weeks of sunlight. The nighttime has 2 weeks of total darkness. The temperature differential between the day side and the night side is over 500 degrees Fahrenheit. The temperatures get up to over 250 above zero during the day, the two-week day, and they fall to 250 below zero, more or less, during the two-week night. That's been going on for billions and billions of years. Any volatiles, any water molecules, any organics, any nitrogen, any argon, anything, any atmosphere at all, would have long since been vaporized and blown away into outer space by the solar wind, baking that absolutely bone-dry lunar surface with eon after eon of sunlight and radiation. So for the Indians to land a little probe and to have it sniffing real molecules, real volatile molecules that are obviously part of the life sequence of an environmental biosphere on the way down, the only conclusion one can come to is that atmosphere is artificial, it's relatively recent, it shouldn't be there, and this is a huge leak, David's pun notwithstanding, and it's only the beginning of major things to happen. I mean, back up a minute.
Well, with
when
this
was
instrument,
the last time
hold
you
on,
saw
you asked
the
me a
president
question
of the United States holding a convocation of students all looking at the moon with 20 or 30 telescopes from the south lawn of the White House 2 days before this event?
Wow.
It's telling us something overwhelmingly important politically about Obama, about NASA, about the United States, about the future of manned space efforts, and about who else is out there that we need to know about right now.
If there was some kind of base on the moon, would it kick up enough particles into this little minute atmosphere to be recorded by these satellites?
That's what they did. That's exactly what they did. As the MIP fell through this thin atmosphere before it crashed onto the moon at the South Pole, relatively close, a few miles away from where La Crosse is going to impact, but with much less mass, so much less, you know, fuss and fury, it sampled, physically sampled this atmosphere of an incredibly rich spectrum of molecules. And remember what the Indian was doing. He was hinting of much more major announcements to come, but they can't announce it yet. What does that tell you? There's
All right.
a timetable. This is not science. This is political science. This is drip, 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 drip. Horrible pun intended.
If we're on the moon, and we've been on the moon.
And who is we?
Well, we, let's say this Black Ops program.
Ah, okay.
What the heck are we doing there? What are they doing?
Well, we're mining the ancient technologies and science and physics of a super advanced set of relatives from a long, long time ago in an effort to figure out how to become human on this planet again. Except, as David said, and I totally agree with him on this, these guys have, to quote Star Trek, wonderful delusions of godhood, and they think it's their stuff and not our stuff, and they don't intend to share it with anybody except themselves and to use it to benefit themselves and to hell with the rest of us. We have developed in this solar system, apparently, and this data from the Indians, again, I underscore this, reinforces with real scientific evidence, we have a two-track civilization going on not only in the solar system, but probably on this very planet. And one track, one group, I'll call them the Black Ops crowd, they are probably 1,000 years, if not more, ahead of us technologically. The rest of us, 6 billion, are mucking along with fossil fuels and oil and coal and hydrocarbons and the threat of global warming and pollution and death and disease and lack of health care and the lack of proper resources and energy resources. In other words, we're the primitives being kept down by this handful of turkeys who really think they're heirs to God.
Jose in Austin, Texas, you're on with Richard Hoagland. Go ahead, Jose.
Hi, Richard. Hi, Josh Norrie. Thank you for having me on the show. My name is Phil Spacewalk, and I have a friend of mine that basically introduced me with Kalanick science. Due to him, I actually have explored in areas of spirituality, in one of them, which is time travel through dreaming and be able to actually go outside into different spheres.
Okay.
The president became president, and when Hillary Clinton looked like she was going to be the president, I told a couple of friends of mine about a couple of dreams that I had, and the dreams came to be repeated within 3 weeks every day. Basically, that the president of the United States today has something to do with aliens. Not that he's an alien or hybrid, but he does have to do something with out of space, and there's going to be a galactic battle, aerial battle, that is going to be with from humans or people that live on Earth.
Well, let me stop you for 1 second, Jose, because Ed Grimsley, who Richard and Robin both know, has been claiming for years now that there's a galactic battle underway now, and he claims that he sees it. Now, I did see two very strange objects with him about a year ago. I did not see a galactic battle, but he claims he has, and some other people who have seen things with him claim something's going on. Richard, what's your take on Grimsley's theories?
Well, I think Ed is part of the puzzle. I think he's got some answers. He's got some neat technology, you know, this M, whatever the model number is of this night vision.
Generation 3.
Third generation, which lets you look up and see stuff going on that you can't see with a normal eye. I mean, Robin went down on the top of this hotel and a couple years ago saw some pretty amazing things with it. And you've seen it. My take is a little different. I go back to the official shuttle videos that were released in the 90s from the space shuttle mission, including STS-48 and STS-80, where you can actually see on these official NASA videos evidence of some kind of war going on upstairs.
Yeah, that is incredible video, too.
I loaned this to Art Bell. I told Art, please sit on this. Don't talk about it. He was extremely meticulous. He never leaked that I had given him this to look at. But I wanted him, as an independent opinion, to take a look, and he saw the same things that I saw, which is somebody going at it hammer and tong upstairs with spacecraft that were moving, you know, with anti-inertial drives or anti-gravity or whatever.
Is that the one with the projectile, the little missile that went up at it?
That's the STS-48,
right.
Yes.
And yes. And this craft, whatever it was, took off in a blink of an eye.
And what I clocked is, if I measure it properly, at over 200,000 Gs. That's 200,000 times the force of gravity, which would smear any occupants all over the cabin as a thin film. So the only way anybody could survive that would be with some kind of anti-inertial, anti-gravity drive. So it was based on those observations, now decades old, that I began to build this model. There is a secret space program. The problem is, who's running it? Again, let's get back to David. Oh, he's going to love me for this. His sources are so black ops.
Poor guy, he won't be able to sleep. You know that.
His sources are claiming that it's all our stuff. It's all the secret government. It's the guys that know everything, that think they're God, that have control of all this, that have starships, you know, 5 light years out. Baloney. I believe that this technology has now been so firmly segregated between the in crowd and the rest of us that the rest of us are trying to catch up with rockets. I mean, that's the obvious explanation for why George W. Bush announced a sudden return to the moon with, as Mike Griffin called it, Apollo on steroids, because the government doesn't have this technology. It's as bereft of this as all the rest of us, because the real technology is in the hands of whoever built it after World War II, and that's where I come to Joseph Farrell and my model of the Nazi International, the continuation of the Nazi experiments, their technological experiments, their biological experiments, their whole idea to you know, own the world, if not the solar system. We don't know who it is we're fighting, but I will bet you dollars to Navy beans it ain't aliens, it ain't ETs, it's another faction of the human family that has been bedeviling the legitimate governments for decades and holding them hostage to some kind of extraordinary technology based on hyperdimensional torsion physics, which, again, is measurable, it is real, and you will see 2 hours of it in this Sci-Fi 2012 special that is going to be aired now on November 8th.
All right. We'll talk a little bit about it before we're off here. Let's go to Corey, St. Louis. Corey, take it away.
Yeah, I'm calling. You had mentioned earlier about this moon deal that's going on Thursday or Friday morning.
Yeah,
Friday morning. The La Crosse Impact.
Right. You'd mentioned Eastern time and Western time, but not Central time. I would love for me and my wife to be able to watch this.
6:30 a.m., 6:31, although,
yeah,
I'll tell you what, I'll make another prediction, George. I'll bet the impact occurs at 6:33 Central time.
Maybe
6:33
so.
6:33 Central time.
Yeah, now okay. Central
and
time.
But that's his prediction. Corey, actually, they say 6:31 Central time in the morning.
Okay, and the other thing is that you're also saying that hopefully, by what you're predicting, is that with the naked eye, you'll be able to see this.
This is a double whammy. The explosion will be a lot bigger than anyone is scientifically projecting.
Because you don't think they're impacting just the piece of the moon.
Well, let's put it this way. Suppose this really is a war, and this is a way to cover destroying the base that's been there for the last four decades. And you want to do that so that you can get rid of all the evidence for the other nations, India, China, Russia, Japan, the European Union. Everybody's going to the moon, George. What the hell's on the moon? We've been told for 40 years it's a dead rock, right?
Yeah.
Even Buzz Aldrin is saying, oh, there's nothing on the moon. Go to Mars. Go to Mars. Don't look at the moon. Don't look at the moon. Which, of course, I think has a rational explanation that he has an aversion built in because of his programming not to tell anybody what they really saw because he doesn't remember himself. He just knows we're not supposed to go back to the moon because something's going on the moon, and the India data confirms it scientifically. There's no way that atmosphere they're now detecting can be natural. No way.
Let me ask you, if an asteroid, you know, let's say 100 feet wide, hit the moon, would we see it with our naked eye? Would we see that impact? What do you think?
It depends on which side it hit. If it hit on the side that we can see from the Earth, yeah, of course you'd see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that side. We would
if
see
it. If it hit
that.
On the far side, you might see ejecta. We used to have a network of seismometers. We were told they were turned off. I strongly suspect that was another NASA lie. I think they're still alive and still functioning, and because they were powered by nuclear power and they should have lasted for decades. So they would have detected it seismographically if it was an asteroid. But no, the steady seep of atmospheric molecules, nitrogen, hydrocarbons, water. I mean, human beings are really messy. The spacesuits the astronauts took on Apollo, they leaked all over the place. In fact, there are photographs, if you get the right set of photographs looking at the right angle to the sun, where you can see the water coming out of the evaporation units on the backpacks that were used to cool the astronauts on the lunar surface. So, yeah, human beings and human civilization is messy in a vacuum, which means if you have human beings with our technology living on the moon in a base at the South Pole in this dark crater where they're going to drop this you know, 1 ton of TNT on Friday morning, it would show up as exactly what the Indians recorded and then were not allowed to publish. See, that's the key part. Politically, they're chafing at the bit and they're saying between the lines that they wanted to say something, but they really couldn't say something until it was the appropriate time, meaning somebody is orchestrating these events to some outcome, which brings us back to David's sources saying something big is going down. I just differ with what the big might be.
All right. And Corey, you can also watch this on our website, coasttocoastam.com. It'll be a live feed just in case you don't want to run outside.
Now, NASA's going to have this on NASA television live. I would recommend people do the following, which I'm going to do. Go out with your telescopes, binoculars, naked eyes, you know, tune into Coast that night. George will have something up. Lex will have something up on how you can see this, where the best times are and all that. Put NASA TV on tape, on disc, on TiVo, whatever. Come in and watch it after the live events because you might get an extraordinary visual experience if you're looking at this thing with the naked eye.
So be it. We'll talk with you before the NBC Sci-Fi special.
And we missed one other little anniversary tonight.
And what is that?
This is the publication date for Dark Mission Revised Edition Number 6.
Congratulations. That's a great move for you. Darkmission.net for more information on Richard's work or Amazon.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.